It's my privilege this morning to introduce to you a friend of mine, a dear friend and partner in ministry, Gordon Johnstone. Gordon and Mary Beth have a beautiful little daughter, Mariah, and Gordon and I served together in college ministry when we were going to seminary together. He has served since then as both an associate pastor as well as a senior pastor. And in the very soon near future, as possibly as soon as June, Gordon and Mary Beth will be moving to Albania to begin a pioneering Bible Institute there. They will be establishing a Bible Institute through Grace Church of Tirana, Albania. And they will be training the first generation of pastors and training them to shepherd God's flock, as well as training them to teach God's Word. So God has prepared Gordy, I believe, for this time in his life and for this ministry that he's called him to. And so I've invited him to come today. He's going to be preaching from God's Word this morning. But tonight I invite you all back, and I hope that you'll come and hear and see pictures of Albania and more specifically of what God is calling them to do there in Albania. So Gordon, please come and share with us from God's Word.
We heard Lance there refer to me as Gordon and introduce me as Gordon, but then he said Gordy there halfway through, and I kind of have two names across the country, and I'm an AKA kind of guy, and sometimes I get confused. I don't know where I'm at. We've been traveling for 7 months, and folks, I don't know if I'm supposed to refer to myself as Gordy or Gordon or whatever, so if you guys all talk to me, you can refer to me either or. It doesn't matter. But, well, it's great to be here with y'all. We're thankful to the Lord for weaving our schedules together. As I mentioned, for the last 7 months, we've been traveling all over the place, from California to Michigan. We reside right now temporarily in Rockford, Illinois. So we've just been all over, and it's kind of unique how the Lord has woven our schedule together. And here, we're with you. We're down at Missions Training International last week, and we have one more week there, and we're learning how to learn language. And that is a great place down there. We are being challenged and stretched, and we've learned some new concepts, things that I've never really learned before. And sounds, they're forcing us to make these very strange sounds with our mouths and to work on our phonetics. And we're practicing different languages, and we're not necessarily practicing Albanian. Matter of fact, I don't think anyone's using Albanian, but I'm in a French group, and I'm learning how to speak French, and Mary Beth is in Russian, and some of the other folks are in Hindi and so forth, and we have language helpers, and it's just a very good program to prepare someone for learning a language. So that's what we're doing out here in Colorado, so we're thankful the Lord brought us here and we could be here with you this morning. It's fantastic to see how the Lord has united you all together. I've known Lance. As a matter of fact, we sat down and had breakfast, I think it was, or lunch or something, like 3 years ago, and he talked and told me about how the Lord's working here, and so we've kind of tracked with you a little bit and have known how the Lord has worked here, and as I mentioned, it's fantastic to see how he's united you together, and he's using you here in Colorado Springs to advance his work and to make his gospel known. Well, I should mention, too, we graduated together, Lance and I, out at the Master's Seminary, and loved being around Lance. He was always an encouraging guy. He was the kind of guy just to like to be around Lance. You know, seminary's hard, learning all that stuff, and you need a lot of encouragement. So he was a real blessing to my life during those times at seminary. And he's a faithful man, and he's worthy of double honor, as the Scriptures say. Paul said in 1 Timothy, the man who labors diligently at teaching and preaching. So that's Lance. I hope you know. He's turning a little red down here. Anyways. Well, I can remember early on in my Christian life saying there were three things that I just never want to do, talking to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I don't want to preach. And high school speech class, I was afraid. Matter of fact, I got out of speech class in high school with my counselor said, okay, I'll let you out of speech class if you sign up for an AP class. And I took AP chemistry and let me out of speech. You know, we made a bargain, and I was like, okay. And then I can remember early on in my Christian life telling the Lord, Well, that's what I thought. I preached for the last 7 years. And I can remember telling the Lord, Lord, I don't want to work with high school students. It's the last thing I want to do. What have I been doing for the last 4.5 years? Youth ministry down in Tulsa, Oklahoma. That was our last ministry. Wonderful ministry down there. I loved it and loved the students and the junior hires and especially the sixth graders. They really like to interact a lot. We really had a good time ministering with them. But then I can remember telling the Lord, Lord, last thing I want to do is go be a missionary. And I just don't want to do that. And I have not been focused on missions at all. You know, as far as me personally going over to some other foreign place. And the Lord has compelled us into that. And we were sensing, you know, it's just a time for a change in our life. So we talked to the senior pastor at Tulsa Bible Church and the elders, and they're like, oh yeah, you know, let's start praying about what the Lord would have for you. And my brother-in-law, Rob Provost, called one day and we were just having a conversation. And he said, well, why don't you think about coming over here to Albania? And I'd been over in the past and made several trips and very aware of his ministry in Albania. And I said, no. And I went in and talked to one of our elders the next day, and I was just talking about Albania in general. And he looked over at me and said, well, why don't you think about going to Albania? I said, well, seems how two men have just told me that in the last 2 days, maybe I should do that. So we started praying and thinking about it. And within the course of about four months, that's my wife, Mary Beth, there. Lance introduced her. I won't make her stand up. She'll kill me. But the Lord just compelled us because the need over there is so great. And we'll have time to talk about that. I'll mention a little bit about that this morning and then this evening. Share with you some things about the need and about what the Lord is doing in that country. It truly is amazing. But this morning, for the rest of the morning, I want to talk a little bit about the kingdom of God. You know, it's such an incredible topic in Scripture. And usually, like Pastor Lance, I like to go to a book and spend time and walk through verse by verse and just spend time digesting all the things that are said in the different books of the Bible. But this morning we're going to be a little bit more topic. And this topic, like I said, is just amazing. The Lord opened His public ministry with the words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And you know how the people, most of them responded. It was like, okay, prove it. And He did. You know, as you read the Gospels, I mean, that's what it's all about. So I want to focus particularly on this whole concept of the kingdom advancing right now in our day and age. But there's a day coming, one day, when the Lord's coming back. Right? We look to that day, and He will come back and set His feet on the Mount of Olives, as the prophet Zechariah said, and the Lord will be king over all the earth. And that day, the Lord will be the only one, out of Zechariah 14:9. His law will reign, His righteousness will reign, the world will be completely transformed. It will be as it should be. It won't be so evil as it is today. There's so much evil in the world today. It's so dark. But His law will reign and the world will see His glory. So that day is coming when the Lord will bring His political, geographical kingdom here to earth. But until then, we can rejoice in what the Lord is doing right now, in the unique way that He is advancing His kingdom throughout the earth. You see, although the kingdom is not visible right here on earth with the king reigning, it is visibly represented by us, by the kingdom ambassadors, us, the church of God. And by that I mean the worldwide church, the Christians that make up the local churches. Now, according to Colossians 1:13, and I'll read that. You can turn there if you want, but I'm just going to briefly read this. Colossians 1:13 states, "For He rescued us from the domain of darkness, and He transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." So you see, he hasn't brought the kingdom here to earth, but yet He has transferred us into the kingdom. And we are kingdom citizens living here on earth, and that makes us ambassadors, right? Because we belong to another world. We belong to another kingdom. We are citizens of another kingdom, but yet we're still living here on earth. We have dual citizenship. So we can say this about the kingdom and our relationship to it. His kingdom is represented here on earth by us, His ambassadors. And He's left us here to promote and advance His kingdom, to make His kingdom ways known. And every time a new ambassador is added to the church, the kingdom is advanced. And every time we advance the truth, the kingdom is advanced. And every time we stoop to love people and show them the ways of the kingdom and the virtues of the kingdom, to do such things as love our enemies, we are advancing the truth of the kingdom. It's very similar to the way an ambassador functions here on earth right now. If you think about it, think about it in terms of the U.S. If we sent an ambassador over to France right now in today's political climate, that would be a hard thing to do for him to be successful. But if we were to send an ambassador over to France, and he lives there and he begins to have an influence on the people around him, and he wins some people over to be more friendly towards the U.S., and he adds a few new people to his staff, and his work grows and his influence grows. But primarily, if he's really good and faithful to his work, he ends up promoting and advancing the interests of the U.S. Right? That's what an ambassador does. And we have them all over the world. And that's very much like us. We're here in the world promoting and advancing the interests of our King in the homeland, the kingdom of heaven. So when I talk about the advancing of the kingdom, that's what I'm talking about throughout this whole message. And let me, it's a little dry here in Colorado. Have you all ever noticed that? Starting to choke out. It's beautiful. We love Colorado. We've been in California in the mountains and the flatlands and all over we live, but it's beautiful, but just dry. So if I choke up, it's not my fault. It's the curse. The curse brought the dryness here to this part of the world. But this concept of being kingdom advancers, co-workers with God in advancing the kingdom, is really spoken about all over Scripture. I just chose those particular words. You may be more familiar with the other concepts, like Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. You may be more familiar with that concept, but it's the same thing. We are going as kingdom ambassadors. Here comes Rob with some water. I know Rob too. And as kingdom ambassadors, thanks Rob, to make disciples, to promote the truth of God and all that He has told us. And again, it's expressed in Acts 1:9. You all know that verse very well. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even to the uttermost ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. Again, the concept of, well, we're witnesses of the truth. We're advancing the kingdom message of our King out there. And then, of course, the classic statement from the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. And the we is us. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Boy, so those are all. So this is what I'm talking about. I like to be clear in these concepts. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about advancing the kingdom. It's very much the same as the truth represented in Matthew 28 and Acts 1:9 and 2 Corinthians 5:20. And there are many more ways that the Lord has expressed this concept in Scripture. But the bottom line is we are co-workers with God to accomplish this work of advancing the kingdom. And it's exciting, isn't it? I mean, it's rewarding to be involved in this work. It gives us something to live for beyond ourselves and the mundane and routine of this life. But it should be our priority. Shouldn't? I mean, those are one of the reasons why I read those statements, those verses. Because those are priority concepts in our life. I mean, this is the priority. This is why we're here. We're here to advance God's truth, to advance His kingdom. There's so many things we need to take care of in this life, but we can't lose sight of this priority. We should be focused on it, working at it, praying for it, giving towards it. It should be a priority. It should have our attention. Our efforts should be going towards this work of advancing the kingdom. And I just, again, for clarity's sake, I'm not talking about the act of selling all our homes and selling all our stuff and just beating the streets like gypsies and preaching publicly all the time. And I'm not talking about wild concepts. I'm just talking about our priority. Where's our minds? Where's our energy and our thinking? What are we really praying for? What are we really striving for when it comes to our ministry here on earth? And it should be this, the advancing of the kingdom, of the King's ways, of the truth of the King. Well, this is the reality of it. Though we've been called to this great ministry, right? I mean, these statements, where we're to go to make disciples and advance His King, lofty ideas. Although we've been called to do this great ministry and work at this great ministry, there's something about this world that captures our affections, huh? I mean, there's something that draws us away from this work all the time. The pressure is on us all the time. And of course, there's the demonic realm that works on us in ways we don't always understand. But the demons are drawing us away from this primary work, this purpose of being here. And then we have the tug of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or fear. Sometimes we don't want to reach out, or we just get comfortable, or just the neutral things of life. I mean, we got cars and homes and stuff we have to take care of, but all that stuff tends to draw us away from being focused on advancing the kingdom here on earth. So, what I want to do with the rest of our time this morning really is just present four items to you. Four things that will help us be faithful in our mission as co-workers with the Lord to work at advancing His kingdom. And I say co-workers, the Lord is advancing His kingdom. I mean, He's going to do it, but He uses us. We are co-workers with the Lord. So this is not really a sermon aimed to be comprehensive in specific truths. Rather, it's kind of, again, it's just a topical approach. We're going to look at a couple things. We're going to look at the Lord's promise to advance His kingdom. You know, it's really motivational. The Lord has promised that He's going to advance His kingdom. Then we're going to look at just a few procedures. You know, how are we supposed to be at this work of advancing the kingdom? And then a couple of just glimpses, pictures of the kingdom advancing in our world. And I'll say a word about prayer. But the first item out of those four that I believe will encourage us to be faithful and that will really motivate us to be faithful is keeping sight of the Lord's promise to advance His kingdom. And let me explain. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13, 31. Matthew 13, 31 through 34 are the parables of the mustard seed and leaven. Let me read those. He presented another parable to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God, is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is smaller than all other seeds, but when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." He spoke another parable to them, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 pecks of flour." That's a measurement about like a bushel. She put the leaven, the yeast, into like a bushel-sized container of flour until it was all leavened. Now, those two parables were designed to give the disciples hope and confidence that the kingdom would advance on earth. They're just simple promises is what they're meant to be. Let me explain why the Lord needed to give them an explanation and give them some hope about the advancing kingdom. You see, at that time in history, the disciples, the Jews in general, were very confused about the kingdom. See, they didn't understand that there was going to be this big gap in time between the first coming of the Lord and the second coming of the Lord, what we refer to as the church age. They didn't really have a concept about that. They thought that the Lord was going to set up His glorious earthly millennial reign right there at that time. And the Lord was, if you read the Gospels with that in mind, the Lord was always trying to explain to him that that's not what He's going to do. He kept on, I'm going to die, I'm going to be resurrected, I'm going to, all these things. Even as in Acts 1, when the Lord was ascending, but they were just confused. So the Lord was teaching them about the kingdom. And if you'll turn, I want to turn back to verse 19. In chapter 13, he was explaining to them about some of the negative aspects of what the kingdom was going to be like here on earth. And he gave them two parables, the parable of the sower and the parable of the tares among the wheat. Let me read the sower really fast. I know you know this, so I'm going to read it really fast. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. He's explaining this parable that he already spoke to him. The one on whom seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but it is only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately falls away. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So you know what the Lord was teaching him? That's bad news, by the way. If you're expecting the Lord to usher in a glorious millennial reign, and he starts telling this parable that, you know how people are going to respond to the word, to you when you give the word, and me when we give the word? They're going to reject it. They're going to get all excited about it at first, but then they're going to reject it. And that's the majority of people. Then the Lord goes on to talk about the good seed and it produces fruit and so forth. The person who hears the word receives it. But the majority of people in this parable reject the word. Bad news. And then the parable of the tares. Let me just go to the explanation of the parable of the tares in verse 37 of chapter 13. I know I'm bouncing around here. And he said, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world, and all. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. He's explaining all the parts of the parable that he gave them, but basically told them the tares and the wheat grow together side by side. Again, bad news. That here on earth, the kingdom is filled with look-alike phony citizens. That's what he told the disciples. So, just imagine the scene. If you're following the Lord along, and he's teaching these things to you, and he just, you know, when you're expecting the glorious kingdom, and he starts telling you that, no, the kingdom's going to be characterized by people who hear the truth, and they get excited about it, but then they reject it, and it's going to be characterized by phony lookalikes, and this is how it's going to be. Bad news. So that brings us back to the parable of the mustard seed and the leaven. Here's the Lord's encouragement to the disciples. Here's how he promises them that although this is the way the kingdom's going to be here on earth, it's still going to advance. The parable of the mustard seed. Again, he says, the kingdom, back in verse 31, of heaven is like a mustard seed. And a man took this mustard seed and he sowed it and he planted it. And it's the smallest seed, but in the garden, out of the garden variety of plants, that's what he's focusing on. And it grows to be the largest garden bush, some say 10 to 15 feet high, very bushy kind of plant, tree, small tree. The point of the parable was to say, the kingdom is going to start out really small, but it will advance, and it's going to grow, and it's going to get big. And that's what we have right now, don't we? I mean, from the first century on, a small group of disciples. And now, look at what we have worldwide. Unbelievable. I mean, those disciples I'm sure the apostles had a hard time realizing what the kingdom was going to be like, but we understand it as we hindsight, as we look back. And then the parable of the leaven. The kingdom of heaven is like that yeast that the woman puts in and mixes in with the flour and adds to the water and makes dough. And the leaven works all throughout, and it has an incredible internal influence on the flour and causes it to rise and expand. And then it's the picture of the kingdom. I'm going to take you folks, that's what the Lord is saying. I'm going to take you disciples. I'm going to put you all over the world and mix you in to the world. And you are going to have an influence on the people around you. And the kingdom's going to expand and grow. So that was the good news. That was very good news for the disciples to hear that. To hear the promise. You know, and sometimes we need that encouragement, don't we? Don't we? I mean, we look at our kingdom work, and it's hard, isn't it? People reject us. We sometimes feel powerless. I don't know. I mean, I'm speaking out of my own experience. We don't see things going the way we expect. We feel like we're talking to brick walls sometimes, or we get discouraged. We don't see people repenting, and we don't see the church advancing as it should, and we think, well, boy, my gifts, how can I be part of this disciple-making to the nations work? And, you know, a couple weeks ago, we were right on an airplane, flying on an airplane, and I'm sitting next to a guy, and any of you businessmen who fly, you know, that's what you think. You think, boy, I'm going to talk to this guy about the gospel, right? So I'm sitting, I'm talking to this guy, and all of a sudden he starts complaining, and just going on and on, bad the day's having, and this and that. And I'm trying to talk to him and sow some seeds, and nothing is happening. It is rejection. And I'm like, okay. You know, and it's just discouraging. I don't know. I sometimes get discouraged when I'm about, you know, I carry these lofty concepts around in my head, and then the reality is just this rejection. And it can get so discouraging sometimes because it doesn't go the way we expect, and the circumstances are seemingly negative, but we all know that God's weaving things together. So here's the point. I'm drawing you back to the main point now. We look at these promises here in Scripture, and no matter what the circumstances look like, the Lord has promised to advance His kingdom, and we are the mustard seed. We are the leaven. He's going to use us to advance His kingdom. That's the program He has chosen. So we can go out into our spheres of influence, and we can create new spheres of influence, knowing that the Lord has promised to advance His kingdom, and our efforts are not in vain. The Lord will work His kingdom out, and He will use the Holy Spirit and convict people when we bring the truth to them. And that's the whole point. We can be motivated to faithfulness as we kind of hold this vision, keep sight of the promise. And I have to do this personally. I have to keep sight of this promise all the time when I'm going into new areas, as we plan to go to Albania and wherever we're at. I have to purposely, consciously think, I know the Lord's at work. He wants to use me. He wants to advance His kingdom. So this guy sitting over here, I mean, I can talk to him and be encouraged because I know that the Lord is at work and He's promised to advance His kingdom. Now, we don't always know how and how these things work out, but we know He wants to use it. So that's the first thing that can encourage us. I mean, hold that promise out. I mean, be aware that He wants to use you. It's fuel for faithfulness to hold that promise out in front. Well, the second item I want to talk about here and just mention is the procedures used to advance the kingdom. Right? We're disciple makers, co-workers with the Lord, kingdom advancers, ambassadors for Christ. Now, how do we do that? That's the question I ask. How, you know, what do we do to accomplish this ministry we've been given? And this is a big question, a very, very controversial question. There are many opinions And I believe there's an overemphasis on techniques and programs and advertisement and the right music or drama or the right facility or just the right man-made techniques. Not that I'm not saying all those are bad. What I'm saying is I think a lot of times across the country, we've had opportunity to be across the country, different churches and talk and just all kinds of stuff and just see such an overemphasis on those things, those programmatic things. Well, we need to focus on the fundamental procedures. I really believe that's what the Scripture is pointing us towards. And it's sort of like sports. Anyone who is engaged in sports, you know that any coach will tell you that when a team loses the ability to perform the fundamental basics of the particular sport, it has a very negative result, outcome on the goal. For instance, basketball. What happens if a team loses the ability, loses the focus of properly shooting the ball? They don't make any baskets, right? If you don't make any baskets, you lose. The point being, you have to give attention to the fundamentals. Because if you lose focus of giving attention to the fundamentals, it has a very negative result on the outcome. And so that's what I want to address here. I just want to talk about one fundamental procedure that we should be giving much attention to accomplish the work of advancing the kingdom. You know, and this is a very obvious. Turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1. This is so obvious. If I gave you a test right now, you probably wouldn't get it because it's just it's like too obvious. It's like, I can't believe he'd say that. That's just so obvious. Why even talk about that? But the procedure that I'm referring to here is the communication of the Word. The simple procedure. This is what we need to be focused on, this fundamental procedure of communicating the Word of God. Look at 1 Peter 1:23. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring Word of God. What works conversion in the soul? What causes someone to be born again? The Word of God. That's it. I mean, it's so easy. There's several other verses we can go to and point this out. I mean, the Scripture's filled with this. Just think of Psalm 119. Psalm 19. And I think of Luke 16. Let's turn to Luke 16 really quickly here. Luke 16. And you know the story the Lord presented about the rich man and Lazarus. Powerful testimony to the work of the Word. I'll read it, though you're still turning there. Verse 27 in Luke 16. And he said, I'm coming in towards the end of the story. And he said, the rich man, then I beg you, Father, that you send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, in order that he may warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment. You know, the rich man's in torment and Lazarus is in paradise. But Abraham said, and the dialogue here is with Abraham, they have Moses and the prophets. In other words, they have the Word of God. At this point in time, that was the Word of God. They had Moses and the prophets, the representation of the Old Testament. Let them hear them. But he said, no, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. I can think of no greater miracle than rising from the dead. But people are not going to repent, even if they see an incredible miracle like that, unless they're willing to listen to the Word of God. So we can get involved in all kinds of techniques and using all kinds of things and trying all kinds of drops and stuff and stuff. And I know you all aren't given to that, but the point is, if people are not willing to listen to the Word, they're not going to be born again. And if they are willing to listen to the Word, then why would we try to use anything else besides the Word of God to see them converted? So the fundamental procedure in advancing the kingdom is that we need to find ways to get the Word of God into the lives of the people around us. I can remember at work, I used to work in the environmental consulting field, and I had some sharp guys I worked with, and I would try to, I'm like, how do I get these guys? How am I going to witness to these guys? You know, front door, back door, side door, what am I going to do? And so I started thinking, you know, what? These are sharp guys. I'm going to get them reading some of the parables. And I remember Brad was one gentleman's name. And I said, Brad, I got this Bible. You ever read the Bible? I know parts of it sometimes. I'm like, well, read this parable about the kingdom of heaven and how it's like a treasure buried. And he's like, okay. You know, and he reads the parable and he comes back the next day. And I'm like, so what? What'd you think about that? And he told me what it meant. And I'm like, you know, I needed to break out the commentaries to understand that. And here's an unbeliever. He goes home, he reads it, he understands it fully. And I'm like, the Lord is working on his mind. But what I'm saying is just an example. I'm saying that we need to creatively and find ways to get the Word of God into people's lives, whether they be small Bible studies in your homes or whatever works for your community, works for your sphere of influence, whatever it is. But that is the fundamental procedure that we need to use, the Word of God. Well, there are other procedures, fundamental procedures. We don't have time to talk about all of them, but I'll just quickly mention them, like laboring in good works for others. But Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. You read the first chapter of Thessalonians, and it talks about the Thessalonians, how they were laboring in good works for others, and they had this incredible reputation. The Word of God was being, as the text says, it sounded forth from them all through Macedonia and all through the province and region of Thessaloniki, as they say now, all over there, because they were given to good works. It's amazing. That's a fundamental procedure in advancing the kingdom, to love others. Another fundamental procedure, you think of John. We need to make sure we have strong unity in our church. They will know you are my disciples by your love for one another, right? Y'all need to be a unified, strong church. And that is what will lead to the advancing of the kingdom here in Colorado Springs. And then another fundamental thing, role modeling personal virtue. People need to see you as joyful people. Who wants to become a kingdom citizen when what's role modeled is depression and discouragement and complaining and grumbling? It's like, is that what it means to be a Christian? I don't, you know, what good is that? You know, they need to see the virtue of the kingdom, the joy, the peace of the Spirit, the love, the kindness, the humility, and all. So, I mean, this could become a sermon for 6 months, a series for 6 months. But we don't need to discuss them much more. I think you understand the main point. The fundamental procedures are what we need to be given to. And we need to have a conviction about that. Because I don't know about you, but I do a lot of reading. I hear a lot of stuff and listen to guys on the radio. And there's a lot of confusion out there about how to advance the kingdom and what the Lord wants and what tools the Lord wants us to use. But the Word of God is the main tool in our own lives. That's going to be the driving impact behind it. Well, two more items. I'm going to have to do these quickly that I want to discuss in regard to advancing the kingdom. Oh, and what I wanted to say about that is we get back to the main point, the fundamental procedures. That's very motivational for us to be faithful because it works. Now, I don't know. I don't like to get caught up with things that don't work. I'm not motivated by things that don't work. Take for instance, if you were a farmer, and you know, someone, this springtime comes, it's time to turn the fields and so forth like that, and you're asked to turn the fields and prepare for planting with a shovel. How motivated are you to do that work? I would not be motivated. I do not want to be out in the hot sun turning a field with a shovel. Or even imagine in your mind a horse with one of those plows behind it, you know, like the pioneers. Not motivational. But think about this. The field, the plant, there's the work, snow's coming off, getting ready, and you have one of those massive John Deere tractors with all the attachments on it that can just turn the soil like a hot knife through warm butter, you know, I mean, just grind that soil. I mean, that's pretty motivational. I'd kind of like to climb up in one of those things and drive out in the field and chomp through all the soil and just turn it and prepare it, right? But there's something motivational, encouraging for the work when you know you have something that works. And that's the point here about the fundamental procedures. We get back to this driving theme through this sermon. We hold that out in front of you. Know that the Word of God is what works. Living the Christian life, that's what works. Man, when you're at work and you know those people in your spheres of influence that need to hear the Word of God, it's the Word and it's your life. That's what's going to work. That should be motivational to get after it and be faithful in advancing the kingdom. Well, a couple more things I wanted to mention. I just wanted to talk about some pictures. You know, there's nothing more motivational and encouraging to help us to get after the work of advancing the kingdom than to look at how the Lord is advancing His kingdom throughout the world. And He's doing great things in Russia, isn't He? I know you all know about Russia. I had some things to share. I won't share them, but He's doing great things in China. It's amazing. It's still persecuted, still communist, although it's not as bad as what it has been. But they're still persecuting the church. But it's grown 20 to 50 times larger in the last 50 years, depending on what statistics you look at, whatever they are. The church is just expanding in China. And Iraq, look what the Lord's doing in Iraq. Is that not amazing? That's why He opened that country wide open. I know that's a big statement. There's lots of things politically. But bottom line, the Lord opened that country so the kingdom could be advanced. And I want you to consider one more picture here, Albania. We can talk a little bit about Albania. Again, we'll talk more about it this evening. But Albania is a small country in the Balkan Islands over there. I got to do this backwards. If you were looking at a map, Albania would be here and Greece is north of it. And then south of it, and Serbia and Montenegro and Bosnia is north, and over to the west is Italy, and if you keep going east, you run into Russia and so forth. So hope that's a good explanation. I'll show you a map tonight. Come back. You see, you're going, oh, what's he saying? But anyways, Albania experienced the most oppressive form of communism known to mankind. It was worse than Russia. It's worse than China. The dictator there, his name was Enver Hoxha. And he was a Stalinist. He was beyond a Stalinist. Some men who become disciples, they often go beyond their teacher in their zeal. And he took Albania, the small little country of about 6 million at that time, and he completely isolated it from the world. There were no phones in the home. There was no mail system. There was this communist propaganda constantly pushed to the people. You know, they're standing in bread lines in America and up in Europe and the other. We're the only nation. And he said this, quote, "The only God that Albania needs is Albania." That's his famous quote that he's known for. And he completely extinguished all religion. I'm not just talking about Christianity. Islam, the Orthodox, Catholicism, what Christians there were, all of them. He converted all their buildings to public buildings, or either that or bulldozed them over. He had the leaders imprisoned, exiled, or killed. That took place way back in 1946. And they experienced almost 50 years. And the wall fell in Albania in 92 with the rest of the countries over there. You know that time in history when the wall fell in Russia and Germany and all over. Just an incredible time in history. So now 12 years later, we look at what the Lord is doing in Albania. There's about 100, 150 small churches dotted across the country. Little churches, 20 people to 50. The largest church in the capital city of Tirana is about 200. It's an Assemblies of God church. But the Lord has just done an amazing, amazing work in that country. I mean, to go from nothing. When the wall fell in 92, there were, statistics vary. Some say there were 2 known Christians. Others say there were 4 known Christians. Whatever. There was a handful of known Christians. That's it. No underground church like Russia. Nothing. I mean, a completely atheistic country. And now look at what we have. And this is what is even more amazing about what the Lord did there.
My brother-in-law, Rob, as I mentioned, he went there as a church planner, and he also planted a school that teaches English and computers. But the building where they meet is Enver Hoxha's old home. Now, is that not incredible? Enver Hoxha was the dictator who said the only religion Albania needs is Albania. He hated the West. He hated especially Americans. He extinguished all religion, and now in his old home, his palace where he met, is a school that teaches English and computers and a church. Now, isn't that ironic? I mean, what the Lord does is amazing, and how he is advancing his church around the world is just incredible. And here's the point. It's so encouraging to look at that picture. Doesn't it excite me when I start looking, whoa, in China and Russia, and you're reading these reports, and it enthuses my soul to be more faithful at advancing the kingdom in my little world that the Lord has given me. So watch, read, and ask, and find out, and look at how the Lord's advancing His kingdom. And that will be a motivational, encouraging help in your own faithfulness. Well, one more thing I'll mention that can really help us be faithful. One more thing, and that is prayer. You know, the Lord calls us in Matthew. I'll read it for you. Matthew 9:37-38. I know you know this verse. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into His harvest." That's a wild verse. The Lord is telling His disciples, His church, to pray that God will send out workers into the harvest. Why do we need to pray? Why doesn't the Lord just do it? Why do we need to pray? I don't know why we need to pray. That's what He said. That's the program He set up. And He tells us, you pray, and I'll send them out. That's encouraging. So we can all be kingdom advancers through prayer. And you know what the Apostle Paul said? Colossians 4:2-4. Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving, praying for us that God will open up to us a door for the Word. And the idea is that your prayers will be effective and God will open up a door for the Word to go forth and advance the kingdom. So we can accomplish much through prayer. And as we give ourselves to prayer, and you know, I'd ask you this right now, think about it in your minds. How often do you pray for the Lord to send out workers into the harvest out here in Colorado Springs? How often have you sat down and prayed for that? How often have you sat down and prayed that the Lord will give this church, you all, an open door for the Word of God in the neighborhood over there, Right? Maybe you haven't been. Maybe you have been real faithful to it. Maybe you haven't. It's not meant to be a guilt thing. That's why I didn't have you raise your hand. Y'all wouldn't raise your hand anyways. But it's just a thing to stimulate your thinking here. You know, we're to be faithful to this ministry of advancing the kingdom. And you can do it through prayer. The Lord will respond. He will respond. He's made that promise. That's pretty motivating, isn't it, to know? Pretty motivating to help us be faithful at this work of advancing the kingdom. Well, just to wrap it up, you know, hopefully you will. Hopefully you'll be stimulated this morning in some way to be more faithful to the work. I know you're faithful already, but to be more faithful, to excel still more. That's the Apostle Paul's exhortation to the Thessalonians about love. Excel still more. Excel more. And the thing about it is, the more that we get involved in kingdom work, the more demanding life will be, the more tired we will be, the less sleep we will get, the less leisure time we will have, the more sacrifices we will be called to make, the more money, time, and energy we will be called to give away. That's the bottom line. And the more we will experience spiritual warfare in our lives. But also, the more we get involved, the more we'll experience the joy, the satisfaction that comes with giving our lives away, giving ourselves away. The more reward we will store in heaven, and the more we will please the one who has called us and sent us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. You've given us a share in this work to be co-workers. I can't think of anything more rewarding, anything more worthwhile to live for. Father, give us wisdom to apply your word and help us be faithful. And may we go about this in the years that you give us in a manner pleasing to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.